35.
Carol, hit that button.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
We need a new intro.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast.
Do it one time, featuring like, Matt say the whole thing, Carol.
Hello.
Carol the cat.
Hello.
The giddy geeker.
Not here.
Not here.
The technician.
Hi.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first.
Yeah.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
We shot second and third, too, because we're just violent lunatics.
We go
pew-pew, 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 pew-pew.
Lots of Star Wars shooting.
Yes.
Episode 85, Shelton and Linda, thank you for staying over the night to be on the second part of the podcast. It's amazing that you guys
We have
that.
The Avengers suite, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's blocked off. Hope you enjoyed those accommodations. Other people have had to stay in the garage.
Right. I try and get my phone to answer to Jarvis, but it won't do it anymore because I've got the English voice on my Siri.
Oh,
and I said, why can't I call you Jarvis? Because my name is Siri.
Oh,
there's no hack for that.
Well, hey, if you didn't listen to episode 84, Shelton Drum from Heroes Convention, the Heroes Hard to Find store. Just all around great guy, and his wife Linda are here. And Charlotte Minicon, I'm sorry, he's wearing the t-shirt. And, what was that thing? I can't remember what it was. No, Charlotte Minicon, yeah. we're here, and they're still here for this beautiful podcast. Tell us real quick, where can we find all about Heroes Convention on the interwebs?
www.heroesonline.com
All right.
Is our website, and most all of our social media is Heroes Online.
Awesome.
At Heroes Online, I guess you might say.
Okay. Yep, and the dates of the convention, June 17th through 19th?
That's right, right up.
And then Thursday night, though, you're doing a kickoff party, too,
kickoff
right?
party at Buffalo Wild Wings right there at the NASCAR Hall of Fame and the Convention Center.
Cool. And let's see, you mentioned in the last podcast, you have a special Lyft deal going to be announced shortly, too.
Correct? Right, it'll be on there. It'll be
website,
on there
everywhere
this
yeah.
year. this week, excuse me. So, yeah, a special Lyft code that will get you half-price rides for the next 2 weeks or something like that.
Cool.
I think it's $50 total credits that
nice.
Will add up. You might not get them all at one time, but you'll get them. And, yeah, and it's just a good idea to save space and get loose and have fun.
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right,
okay,
geeks.
So, what are we talking about?
I tell you what. Let's start with Con Carolinas, just because.
Oh, that's right.
It was kind
it's
of,
so
and I need
on
to live
mind.
Vicariously through you since Joey got ill at the first.
Yes, the,
well,
the second
panel
got ill,
Friday night.
And I had to cover for her for a lot of panels.
And thank you for.
That's okay. I pulled double duty as guest and programming director. it was a good year. I think it ran really smoothly. The program was amazing. I say that,
it was crap.
Oh my gosh, Tiffany, no.
It was awesome. We had Nana Visitor from Deep Space Nine there. Our musical guest of honor was This Way to the Egress, which was this really great.
They were really cool, yeah.
Band. Steampunk, I'm using quotations because they're more than just steampunk. They're almost sideshow, burlesque, carnival type thing. I highly recommend you look them up. They're awesome, This Way to the Egress.
Who we also podcasted with.
Yes, we did a podcast at Con Carolinas where we had Bill Blair, This Way to the Egress, and our artist guest of honor, who is Ursula Vernon. And it was a very wombat-filled episode, because Ursula loves her wombats.
I edited that podcast this weekend, and I was laughing the whole time, going, where is all this wombat material coming from? This is more than discovery.
If you want to know about wombats and their dangerous butts.
Yes.
Listen to that podcast, because Ursula will tell you all about those really unruly teenage wombats and their dangerous butts.
You heard it here first, kids.
That's right. but it was great. I love this hotel. I truly do. We did have some air conditioning issues on Saturday. But there's so much space, and it's just so nice to be able to move around. and grow a little bit. That
and you can park there.
Yes, you can. It's
true.
We had food trucks there for the first time ever.
Oh yeah,
which was great. That was a really nice thing to have on Saturday for those people who didn't necessarily want to pay hotel prices. They could go out, and there was a variety. We had 6 food trucks there on Saturday.
Food trucks are a godsend.
I know. I love them.
Y'all park, and y'all do it, and we'll eat it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So we're hoping to do that again next year. This was a trial year, and it worked out really, really well for all involved. A couple hiccups, but I think all in all, and incidentally, Nirvana, who is the burlesque troupe that performs at our show, taped their show where they had Mikey Mason and Valentine Wolf did special guest spots during it.
Gosh.
And it was an awesome, awesome show. So I hope they put that up or sell that or something, because it was a great show.
I would buy that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I bet you would.
I still need to buy
it.
You're that Joey.
I'm scared.
All
right.
You're that Joey.
bet you would.
All in all, I still need about 24 hours of sleep. I'm still in con mode where I can't get to sleep till 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm having to go to work the next day, so I can't.
I guess the only question I have is, did they have the great bacon there again?
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Oh.
Okay. The breakfast at Embassy Suites is freaking awesome.
It's really good. It comes with a room, so.
Cool.
Next year we haven't had our wrap up meeting yet, so the dates are announced, but not much else has been announced. We'll figure that out in the long run after I sleep. We'll figure that out after
sleep. Who needs it? Right, Shelton? Who needs sleep? Right?
I'm trying to get some this week, but I'm not expecting it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. The week leading up to a convention is always the worst week ever. And then you get there and it's done, and you're like, oh, it's done. Damn. I don't want
what
it to
happened?
End.
And then you sleep for 3 days afterwards.
Says you now, by the way. I saw Carol Sunday morning, and I go, oh, it's Sunday. It's sad. It's ending. And you're like, eh.
Fuck off. Get out of here. Everybody leave my hotel.
Oh, my God.
So that's the life of a programming director. But we had a really good podcasting panel, and we had... Tiffany and I were on the Game of Thrones panel.
We were. Yep.
We were in the Game of Thrones panel.
We were
you
it.
We were the panel. Okay.
We were it, yeah. And we managed to double the size of just the two of us in terms of audience.
More came in. We started with just double.
Quit bragging, Tiffany. Quit bragging.
We might have gotten to the double digits in terms of people in that room.
I think we did. But the podcasting panel was actually 3/4 full. That was actually...
Oh, good.
It was a smaller room, but there was a lot of people there. So,
Tell me about this author dating game, because I know Joey kind of created it.
Yes.
And I was supposed to announce it, and we both had to.
You both had to leave
to Ale.
So we kind of winged it.
Winged it.
Anyway.
Is that past tense?
Or yeah. Right. We winged it. No, we didn't wing
future
it.
Future tense.
Anyway, so Joey came up with the idea of the author dating game, where a contestant would ask kind of like dating questions, like the old dating game, to a group of authors who are portraying characters from their novels. And then at the end of the questioning session, they would go on a date, quotation marks, with a character, and that author would actually give them the book. So they could actually take the book home and go on a date. And it went really well. I enlisted the aid of our MC, Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, who...
Good.
Steps in anywhere
because
he's an awesome guy. And he was the announcer, and he made things flow smoothly, and it actually went really, really well.
Cool.
So thank you, Joey Giddy Geeker, for coming up with that idea. We'll probably keep it on the schedule.
Oh, great. She'll be happy.
Yes.
To hear that. Yes.
So it was a very good, and it was well attended too. So it was a really good addition to the program.
Awesome.
And next year, look for a Gilmore Girls
panel. I'm going to have Gilmore Girls.
After Gilmore Girls A Year in a Life premieres on Netflix sometime.
Oh.
Tiffany will be the panel for that, and she'll probably be the audience. She's just going to run back and forth and ask herself questions.
What's your favorite episode? Well...
So
why do I have a feeling security is going to make the call to break up the panel at like the 5th hour, because Tiffany is still going on about play by play about the Gilmore. She loves the Gilmore
objectifying men.
Did your Gilmore Girls fandom transcend into parenthood by chance? Did you watch that?
I didn't watch the whole show, but I did watch like the first season or two. It was I thought it was a good show. You didn't like it?
Yeah, it was great. Get all the way through the last episode. And
Oh my god.
We saved that episode for what? Yeah. A year and a half, 2 years. It was so good.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. It was like,
I'll have to revisit.
The most perfect
wrap to a show ever.
Oh really?
That's usually the most difficult show for someone to do.
It tied it all
just right perfectly back.
Yeah.
Oh cool.
Oh wow.
I know,
okay.
I'm gonna binge watch this summer. Yeah. Seriously.
It's worth it. It really
Take
is.
Tissues.
Very good actors on that show. I remember that. I just remember I got like a little overwhelmed with all the shows I was watching, so that's why I kind of dropped off. Not because I didn't enjoy it, but obviously
pick,
I was attracted
because
of. You
have to pick and choose. It's so hard now.
Yeah.
There's just so much.
We were watching that and Shameless like every week, like together.
Oh my god!
Like, they're the same show, just different families.
Very different dysfunction.
Yeah. I mean, they all love each other and you know care about one another.
Yeah.
And do crazy things.
A little different approach, yeah.
Just a little different.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Speaking of families caring for each other, which there aren't a whole lot of on this show, but Game of Thrones. So, this week, we...
As per usual, I have not caught up to this. It's okay, though. You can talk about it.
Okay.
Do you guys watch Game of Thrones? Or
She might.
I watched the first two seasons, and I'm not caught up.
Okay.
Because of...
You're better than I am. I watched the pilot,
reason.
And that's it.
It's just like, oh my god.
So you haven't
Too
caught
much
up.
Back
say what
that.
You're going to say. I don't... Yeah,
okay. You don't care.
No, I don't care.
So this week, it was again another just forwarding the plot type episode.
Okay.
Last week, you know, we haven't had anything really big. The big things on this episode is that Olenna, or Olenna, the grandma is
Tyrell
getting
grandma.
The hell out of town because they're about to throw her in jail. And Marjorie is faking it, so she's faking being a penitent.
Oh, well, I think we knew that.
Yeah, we knew that. So that was, you know, that was King's Landing. Over in the wall, Jon is having a hell of a time trying to get an army together to take back Winterfell.
Jon, who died
and then
season.
Came back, yes.
Okay.
In the worst kept secret ever. But he's slowly getting an army together, but they're going to have to ask Littlefinger for that.
Oh, yeah.
That
oh,
army
finger.
From the Vale.
Because,
you know who the hell Littlefinger
no
is.
I think it's an awesome name.
It is, and he's
old
an awesome
Lefty.
Character.
How's Lefty doing?
Littlefinger's great, yeah.
Littlefinger's great, and I'm going to be sad when he gets killed, but I have a feeling he's going to get killed, like everyone else in a George R. R. Martin book.
They don't
last all that long.
They don't.
So is that really George R. R. Martin, or is that just like medieval time fantasy world?
I think he tends to be...
It's like a combination of both.
It's kind of a combination of both, but Martin has a tendency not to spare any of his characters. In a lot of fantasy, I mean, you read The Hobbit, granted it's a children's book, but only three of the dwarves die. In The Lord of the Rings, you only lost Boromir, really, from... the fellowship. So there's a tendency to keep those core characters and keep them alive. Martin doesn't have that problem. He just like
cycles on through. All right.
Yeah, okay, I'm done with you. I'm throwing you off a building. Or I'm done with you. I'm going to have the Boltons flay you.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
What was the deal with the door?
Oh, Hodor. That's Hodor. That's like terrible. Oh man, no, too soon. I'll cry.
Oh, okay.
Hodor was a great character who only said one word, which was Hodor. And in the very end, he held the door.
It turned out, yeah, he,
that
he
was,
repeated
that was his
it
thing.
Over and over for decades. And
he
became,
had to hold
went
the
from
door.
Hold the door to Hodor.
Hodor, so. It was that. That was a great show. Or that was a great episode and a great character.
A reveal, yeah. Good
reveal.
I saw that on the internet.
He actually, I have to say,
it was all over the place, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's a reveal that Martin started in book two and ended in book, well, will end in book six because he hasn't written it yet.
Oh,
yeah. So that was a long, long reveal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of a placeholder episode. It wasn't great. Some stories move forward. Arya got stabbed.
For the watch. Or
no.
The
waif. The waif caught up with her and stabbed her a couple of good times. So
I read an interesting theory about that. So I did
read. I know.
The
I read
one
that
where
same
it's
theory.
The waif is Arya herself.
Yeah.
Do you
so,
agree with that?
I don't know. We'll have to see next week because I think they're going to end that storyline next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Of course you do. Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. No idea.
But we're getting to the end of the season. We only have two more episodes left. So.
Oh.
And the Hound reappeared, right?
Yes, the Hound reappeared. Yes, okay, we had two people reappear. The Hound came back.
The Hound is a person.
Yes, he is.
Okay, just want to clarify.
I want him to reteam with Arya. I did, buddy comedy
they were
again.
Like they were the Crosby and
Stills Hope. And Nash?
They were the Tiffany and Nash.
It was like a road show. Show.
Okay.
The I'm big Crosby Bob Hope road show. It was hysterical with the Hound, who's this huge giant guy and this little girl. But yeah, he's as surly as ever, and he's about to kill a bunch of people.
No way.
So he hasn't changed at all. And then we got the Blackfish back, who was Caitlin's uncle, who's also a great character. Huh. When you see him, you'll remember him. He was at the Red Wedding. Yeah, we're coming up on the second to the last episode of the season, which is usually where everyone dies.
So. Is Aquaman still on the show?
No, he died in season one.
Oh, gosh. I'm way behind. Okay. I saw the pilot. So.
He was a fish out of water anyway.
Yeah. He was. Yeah, I think it was season one that Khal Drogo died. Yeah.
Yeah. Season one.
Spoiler. All right. No. We're way back.
I just spoiled the entire fucking episode. So there you go. That was Game of Thrones. Catch us next week when we'll see who dies in the Battle of the Bastards, which is the name of the title of the episode.
Jeez.
Yeah. That should be interesting.
I'll see that in probably 5 years when I catch up. Yeah.
Speaking of a right bastard, Preacher.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, Preacher had its second episode, and
based on a Vertigo comic book, so
yeah. Yes,
you sold a few copies of that, I'm sure.
Over the years, we've sold quite a few.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched the show?
I'm not.
I watched the first episode.
You did? What did you think of it?
Violent.
Yes, very violent.
That sounds perfect then for the company.
There's no other word that you can use but that one.
Yes. This episode has more of that, more of violence.
You don't say.
It has more violence.
Is there more arse face?
There, you do see more arse face. You do. Yeah. And he actually gets his name in this episode because the Irish vampire is like, he looks like he has an arse face kind of thing. So, Yeah, he gets his name, and there's a disturbing parishioner that comes to Jesse for guidance. So I don't want to spoil too much because Carol hasn't seen it.
You can go ahead. I just spoiled it.
And then there's a lot of random things that kind of happen in this episode that don't seem to really make sense yet. I actually took the time to listen to Entertainment Geekly, which is a podcast of Entertainment Weekly.
How dare you?
I know. Okay. No. And I figured there's enough space for all of us to share the podcast airwaves. But yeah, so I listened to theirs, and they've got the advance of four episodes. So they've watched four episodes, whereas we're only able to see two, obviously, as the general public. And apparently we can expect a lot more randomness to happen in the next couple episodes. But
send them an email. Get us hooked up with that advance screening.
Exactly.
Come on.
We should.
We're in Poland, for Christ's sake. Come on.
Some poor Polish kid. Yeah. No, I must watch me listen to my Guardians at the Kikari.
Oh, the poor youth of Poland.
It is Wednesday.
So, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed it. It was sort of random, just like the first episode, but not in as fun of a way, but there was a lot of the vampire who I think is shaping up to be my favorite character.
It usually is. From what I understand from people who have read the comic book, I have not. Is it Kavanaugh? Is that his name?
No, Cassidy.
Cassidy is usually the favorite character, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the vampire.
The vampire.
Yeah.
So the actor playing... Is it Jesse Custer as Preacher?
Yeah.
Is that getting that right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is the actor who plays Howard Stark on Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter.
Yeah, Agent Carter, and he was in the Winter Soldier.
He's the TV Howard Stark, basically.
Well, no, he's also the movie Howard Stark.
I thought they had, what's his name, for Mad Men?
That's the older Howard Stark. I'm talking Captain America, Captain America
First
and
Avenger?
First Avenger.
Oh,
he was in First
then
Avenger.
They switched. Okay.
Then for the older Howard Stark scenes, it's John Flattery.
Okay. That's quite interesting to see that kind of, I think.
Yeah, Dominic Cooper.
Also known as the guy from Mamma Mia.
John Flattery was in Mamma Mia?
No, Dominic.
Oh, okay. Whatever. I was like, wait a minute. I just lost a lot of respect for John
Flattery. Hey, Colin Firth was in that thing.
Yeah, I know, and I lost a lot of respect for him.
How dare you?
What are you doing, Mr. Garcia?
We don't want to lose the Mamma Mia audience of the podcast. Come on. Yeah, what are you doing?
Those Alba fans get violent, man. Okay, so who's been watching Supergirl?
Oh my gosh. So, or is
this just a teaser that Superman's going to show up?
No, so at the end of Supergirl, season one, which was on CBS, now moving over to CW. So I think that's actually good because it's all the same producers.
Which is turning out to be Comics Weekly.
But yeah, so the thing that's just been confirmed is Superman will appear next season.
Did they say who will play him?
I think it's going to be a kid again. Because at the end of Supergirl, another Kryptonian ship crashes and it's small. And she rips open the cover and we don't see what it is. But I'm pretty sure that's going to end up being I think it's going to be Kal-El going through because she actually... Because Supergirl actually launched, and she was supposed to arrive to Earth before Kal-El and protect him. That was the whole thing. But in the TV show, she comes years later, and Superman's there first, and she's been kind of hiding in the shadows, and then she starts to become Supergirl. So they switched some things around a little bit, but that's my guess. And I guess
you. What continuity are you talking about?
This is the
Silver Age continuity. Superman was an adult when she arrived, right?
Yeah. I think that's right, yeah. But on the show, yeah, so on the show he's already an adult. She comes in later when she's 13 and he finds her. So it's kind of, I don't know, but she was supposed to arrive ahead of time and I guess protect or something on the TV show, but so anyway, I think it's going to be like a little Kal-El. She's got to protect him, but I don't know how that works, but
you know what would have been way more interesting is if it had been Henry Cavill.
Oh, of course.
Tiffany worships Henry Cavill.
I do. That would be the way I would play that one, but...
And they have...
It may still happen, you know what?
Could true.
That would be incredible.
And is it Jeff Johns is now in charge of all that?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
I think they just made that change. Yeah. So, I guess that's going to extend to the TV, you know...
The TV universe.
I'm all for that
as well as the movie universe.
Yeah, because they have shown a grown up Superman, but they always have him in shadow, and he's like, it's always like a perspective of she's looking up and the sun's behind him. You just see the shadowy figure with a cape, and he helps her.
I feel like at the very least, let's bring back Tom Welling because I haven't seen that dude in anything in a bit.
It's probably to Baskin Robbins,
and it's the same network and now, and he's handsome, so. He's no Henry Cavill, but, you know.
Yeah. That would be incredible if they would start blending the movie and the TV.
It's worked for Marvel.
Yeah. And I love the actors playing the Flash on the TV show. I think he would be fantastic on the big screen. But
unfortunately, they've
cast
all that.
What's his name?
Oh, I suddenly have Adam Driver stuck on the brain, and it's not Adam Driver. It's Ezra Miller.
Ah.
Whoever that is.
But he's playing a different Flash. It's an alternate universe Flash, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's the same character as the TV Flash. I think they're doing an alternate universe, which is why Batman had that vision thing in Batman versus Superman, the dualarity.
Maybe it could be the Kingdom Come
Flash.
Flash, who just speeds around saving everybody and you never see him.
But yeah. So yeah, that's that.
Some possibility.
Right? They of course made Aquaman all hot. So, because really, I would have loved to see Jason Momoa in the orange and green outfit though, just to see Jason Momoa in that outfit. That would have been
whatever.
Then they would have to cut off his hand.
Right? I don't know if they're going to do that in this. Universe of this movie.
I hope not, because everybody gets their hand cut off these days.
So. I know. It's a trope now, getting your hand cut off. Yeah. Hell, they even have it in Game of Thrones. Jamie lost his hand.
Oh, so last night, did you end up seeing Conjuring 2?
I did indeed see Conjuring 2.
What's the verdict?
The verdict, I gave it a B-. I'm writing a full review for my website. Oh, there is a Rogue podcast where me and the person I went with talked a little bit about it. If you like scary movies that rely entirely on jump scares... and with some good special effects, you'll like this movie. It's all jump scares, and they're very telegraphed jump scares, but they still get you. So they're well done jump scares.
I actually like jump scares. I don't like a bunch of extra blood and.
This has no blood.
Okay.
It's PG-13.
But I can't watch the TV advertisements. I get scared, so I have to.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm not probably not gonna ever see this movie, but.
It's about a haunting that took place in England, which is actually well documented. The Enfield poltergeist.
Was it based on a true story?
It very loosely based on a true story and heavily embellished.
Okay.
But yeah, you can read all about the actual incident. And this is another case from Ed and Lorraine Warren,
mm-hmm.
who you were the characters in the first Conjuring movie, and were the people who investigated the Amityville Horror. So it's well acted, well directed, utterly forgettable. Relies just entirely on jump scares. But it was a fun evening out.
Is there a weird ghost nun in this thing?
Oh yeah.
Okay. That's the only thing I see when that advertisement comes on TV and I'm like, nah!
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay.
And the ghost.
Because all I can think about, it takes me back to Poltergeist, which I did see in the theater, and that old creepy man that would be like walking through the... they would see him in the grocery store, and that used to... I mean, I had nightmares of that dude for years. I mean, it was just the creepiest looking dude.
I have to say, that effect was very well done. And then there's a toy. A haunted toy. They always find the Warrens always find the haunted
toy.
You're
talking about the Conjuring 2 toys?
No. I'm sure they'll come up with some charlatans sort of action figure. But there's a toy that has a little crooked man that walks a crooked mile. That's also well done. The effects were well done. But did I look under my bed and in my closet when I got home? No.
Because
I had...
Well, you're not me.
Tiffany would be looking at it.
These types of horror movies generally don't stick with me. So, but it was... I mean, I give it a B-. It was well done for what it was.
Right.
If you liked the first Conjuring, you'll like this one. And that is that.
Anybody watching the Wayward Pines TV show?
I saw the first season. I have not watched any of the second season yet. I'm assuming it's like American Horror Story, where they're telling a totally different tale, or a totally different cast of characters, I should say.
It's focused on the kids now, right?
Yeah, it's some of the same people.
Well, they were the
people.
Only ones that were left.
Yeah, maybe. They don't really go into what they do with the adults, do they? At the end of that episode?
No.
Yeah. The end of the first season? Yeah.
There are some adults, and there's a couple that were in season one, but what's his name? Dylan's gone. Matt Dillon.
Yeah, Matt Dillon.
He died. That's not a spoiler, but... So Jason Patrick is the new guy that they've thawed out in the future.
What was he doing?
And he's actually good at this, but it's just kind of like a C-plus type of show that... There's nothing else on, and
so
I watched the first.
Watch it.
Yeah, I get sucked into it, but it's the same set so far, because they're stuck in the future with this one city that's left called Wayward Pines with this big gate around it because in the year 4000 all humans have died except these folks that had the wherewithal to freeze themselves and be thawed out in the future, and all surrounding them are these weird things called abbeys, which are these crazy kind of like
it's humans but they've evolved into
sort of like Nosferatu. They look sort of like that.
Yeah,
they've got pointy ears and
I guess they're cannibals at this point.
They eat people and
so this is
kind of
like my Gotham, which is a show that I watch but I don't have to rush to the TV set to watch it.
Yeah, I want it to be a lot better, but
I don't think
they want
Gotham
to get a lot better. So
yeah,
it's like we're comfy right here. We're gonna keep going. I'm like, okay.
First season. I thought that like when they had that reveal that it was all those years in the future and that was all that was.
Well,
I thought that was pretty good. I mean, it
was an okay
compelled
M. Night Shyamalan. It was an okay M. Night Shyamalan twist because this is produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm. So there's gotta be a twist. Speaking of twists,
or not sometimes.
Yeah, true. Well, that's the problem.
That's it.
That's the problem with these first two episodes. It's like we know what's up, and
it's like oh, well,
that's what's outside the fence.
Yeah, because like the first season, you're kind of like, what's this weird town?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they won't let him leave. What's going on here? So Pacific Rim sequel. Are they actually doing a Pacific Rim sequel? I thought they had canned it.
No, but because. of they've got Finn from Star Wars: The Force Awakens. John Boyega. Yeah, they've signed him, so it is going forward. So
I thought they had. Well, it was one of those sequels that was planned and then shelved and then planned and then shelved. I love the first Pacific Rim, but I love kaiju monsters and giant robots. So. What's not to love?
I always wanted the Shogun Warrior toy growing up. I had Godzilla, which I was completely happy with, but I never had the Shogun Warrior to battle against, which I was always missing that. And Pacific Rim definitely was kind of like that.
Logical sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I feel like it's just two kids playing with their toys. Yes, and it's great.
Because really, you see giant monsters, your first thought is going to be giant robots.
Of course.
So some geek was in charge of national defense and went, damn, yeah, I can build me a Voltron. Finally.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, I've got to go to a TV show. We're cramming all these shows in, binge watching, DC Legends of Tomorrow, which is the future thing. So in this one, Adam can grow. He figures out he can enlarge his suit like Ant-Man into Giant Man,
like,
right?
Giant Man, yeah.
And I think they just did it to beat Marvel to the punch in the movie is what I think really happened here. Because I don't remember that ever happening in the comics. I wasn't a huge Adam fan, but I can't remember him.
Julie Schwartz might have done it.
Might have played around with
for an issue or two. I don't know.
He got kind of creative. But anyway, so Joey and I are watching it, and so he has to fight this big robot. So he goes, I think I can reverse my suit and enlarge. So he's like three stories tall or something, and Joey just looks at the robot. It's a back shot and goes, look at that ass. And I'm like, really? That's... But it's like... A robot's butt is what you're looking at here. I don't know. It was random, but it just...
Well, they showed you robot testicles in Transformers, so...
Oh, God.
What?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Second or third one.
All right.
You were still watching that?
I fell asleep during it, and I woke up, and John Turturro was basically looking at giant robot or giant Transformer.
So
testicles.
What's the purpose
in a bolt, huh?
Basically. Yeah. Basically. That was basically it. And my only thought was John Turturro. You were such a good actor. What the fuck are you doing in this film?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was the giant robot. Naughty Bits version of our podcast.
I just always
Naughty Bolts.
Naughty Bolts. Yeah. I just missed that whole Transformers thing because I started driving cars and dating girls and stuff, and it was just like, I was like, yeah, Transformers, all right.
So there's only one thing left on the list, and that's Mystery Science Theater 3000 Reunion.
Yay!
I think they got everybody, didn't they?
Yeah, so they've got Joel and Mike Nelson, mm-hmm. who are going to sit next to Tom Servo and Crow and riff on movies, and I think it's end of this month?
I think they're selling tickets already for it.
Wow, okay.
For the Fathom events.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Mary Jo Peel and Bridget Jones and Trace Beaulieu.
Bridget Jones!
That is her name. That is her actual name.
Oh, it's not actually Bridget Jones I'm thinking of?
It's not the diary.
It's not the character out of the book.
Just like not
I'm
everybody.
I'm so excited.
Not everybody named Lorelai.
But that is coming, though.
There is another Bridget Jones.
Yeah, true.
Why?
Yeah.
I'm
excited to see that.
Me too.
She wrote another book.
She apparently encountered some naughty bolts.
Yes, she does.
Sure did.
So, yeah.
I'm looking to get a t-shirt with that on there now.
Yeah, really.
So I'm looking forward to this. I want to see the reunion. I kind of sort of want to see the new show because we did actually riff a movie. We riffed Batman and Robin at Con Carolinas.
Oh, all too easy.
It was all too easy. Yeah. We did an audience vote. We had three movies. I had four, but we didn't have a Blu-ray player. So my crawl was out the door because all I had was my Blu-ray, which was sad because, man, I wanted to riff crawl. But the three movies they could choose from was Batman and Robin, Jaws 4 the Revenge, and The Room.
The Crow was actually a good comic book. And I remember they released the adaptation before the movie,
they
used to. And I was like, this is going to be great. And then I was like, this is not great. The comic
it's
was so much better.
It's 80s fantasy. There wasn't a lot of 80s fantasy that was good on the screen. Right. But we ripped Batman and Robin. And it was fun.
Cool.
Thank you, Pineapple Shaped Lamps and Podcasting's Rich Secret, who were with me on the riff.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's, we ran out of stuff, huh?
We ran out of stuff. I guess we're done.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Oh, before we do that, real quick. Yeah. Shelton, plug away, my friend.
One last time.
Heroes Con!
The 34th Annual Heroes Convention. 34th. Charlotte Convention Center, June 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Yeah.
HeroesOnline.com for all the information and tickets. And you can buy tickets at the door. And kids 12 and under are free. And
that's awesome.
Look for our Lyft code and get you a good cheap ride up there. And don't worry about parking.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Am I pushing the button?
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Chance Hillstop.
Licensed
under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
We don't mail them real regularly anymore. Sometimes I will, but yeah, it's...
I snatched this one from a store.
There you go.
Thank you,
thank you.
Real mail is so expensive.